so much for this time right now, this specific time in our service. I pray, God, as we open up the Word of God, that we will also open up our hearts and allow your Word, that we will allow ourselves, that we will humble ourselves, that we will let go of tradition, we'll let go of preconceived notion, we'll let go of whatever it is, the sin, whatever's going on, whatever's easily entangling, and that we will completely allow you all the room that is in our hearts to move, to work, so that the seed that's planted today can be planted in a good soil, and that it can grow to produce the crop, God, the harvest of righteousness that you so desire. I pray that the words that come from my mouth will not be my own, but yours. I pray just to be the vessel from whom they come. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to conclude today what we have been studying for the last six. This will be number six, the sixth sermon on how to have a deeper faith. We've been talking about it all year long so far, and we're going to conclude at least this. I don't know that we're done with faith. I don't know that you can ever really be done with faith. But what we're going to do is we're going to finish up. We've talked a lot of different aspects of faith, but maybe none more important than how do we continue to have faith when we're asked to wait. And that's what today is all about, faith while waiting. Okay, Allison, it's great to have you back from your world travels. It's good to see you. You know, we all have strengths and weaknesses, right? I mean, my mother-in-law has told me before that I am a patient man. I mean, I don't know that I... Maybe I am. Maybe I have time. Maybe there are times and moments in my life when I am patient. My wife and kids may have a different perspective on what patience is. But when it comes to traffic, I wouldn't say that I'm the most patient guy, right? You know, when it comes to having to wait, like when you go to a doctor's office and you're sitting there and you're waiting in line, Jerry and Ryan, you know, that's the fruit of the spirit of patience is not just oozing through my pores. Especially, you know, when you make the doctor's appointment right and you get the first one. So if the office opens at 8, you take the 8 o'clock appointment and you show up. And you show up a few minutes early, right, so that you can fill out the paperwork so that you're not waiting to do that. And then you still have to wait 20 or 30 minutes. Like, but there is no other appointments. There's nobody that could be backed up. Like, how does that happen? I don't know. It's not a strength of mine being patient when I have to wait in certain areas. You know, one of the most difficult things in life to do, though, is to sit in God's waiting room. Right, when we're sitting in his office and we're having to wait on him. You know, when you worship an eternal God, and that's what we do. We worship an eternal God who doesn't exist in the same time continuum, space-time continuum that you and I do. Then it can feel like an eternity waiting on him to deliver on his promises. When we put out those prayers, when we feel prompted to move and to act, or we present a request, when we worship God who exists outside of time like you and I exist in, then when we have to wait, it can feel for us like it's taking forever for God to come. So how do we maintain our faith when God asks us to wait? That's a really important question. How do we maintain faithfulness? How do we not give up? How do we not lose our faith when we have to wait? And in order to answer that question, we have to understand that there are different phases that we go through in our faith walk with God. And there's no better place to look than the man who became known as the father of faith. Right? If we're going to ever look at anything outside of Jesus, and I know Monty loves it when we dig into the Old Testament, right? So the father of faith, and that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to really focus in on Abraham, who became known as the father of faith. So the first phase of faith is the dream phase or the promise phase. And we see it in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing.'" You know, Abram, I'll call him by his proper name at this point in time in his life, Abram, at this time, he was already 75 years old. He was an elder man, didn't have any kids. God's movement in our lives is always going to start with a dream. It always does. When He moves, it starts with a prompting, a notion, I'm putting this inside your heart of what I want you to do or what I want you to be. It always starts with a dream, something that He specifically puts in your heart. Now you have to, have discernment, because you want to know if what God has put, what you're feeling in your gut, is not indigestion from last night, right? But it is the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit. Come on, guys. I know it's rainy. I know we're, but that was supposed to be funny, right? I thought I'd get a lot more laughs on that one. You know, we discern. We got to discern, but God's always going to start with a dream. He doesn't always show up with the plagues, right? Big, you know, turning rivers into blood, you know, having locusts cover the field. He doesn't show up like that. We don't always get that word. We don't always see a literal hand writing on a wall telling us what we're supposed to do. That's not always how He shows up. Oftentimes, God's movement through the Holy Spirit can come in quiet whispers. That would be cool to see a big hand writing on a wall. It would be cool to like walk out into a lake, and as you like step foot into that lake or that river and just see the waters start parting. That would be cool, but most of the time I would say that's not how God speaks to us. That's not how the Spirit. Oftentimes it's much more in quiet whispers. You know, if you don't know what God's dream for your marriage is, or your kids, how to be a better parent, if you don't have that dream, if you don't know that dream, your career, what your role in the church is, then sometimes you just need to be quiet. Stop talking and start listening. Because when life is audible, when it's so loud, when we get distracted by all the things in life, the worries of life, when we get distracted by how to be a better husband, or how to be a better wife, or how to be a better parent, or how to pursue this career and we get so busy with the list that we're hearing and listening, all these other things, that we actually, what we want to be better in, we miss God's movement because there's just too much noise. And so if you don't know, if you're not sure, then be quiet. Stop the talking all around and start actively listening to God, to the Holy Spirit. The reason why you can't hear God is not because He's not speaking to you, but it's because you're not listening the right way. And a lot of time, it's sin, it's busyness, it's whatever. I mean, the laundry list goes on and on. But it's not, if you don't hear Him, if you're not feeling His presence and His movement in your life, it's not because He's not there. It's not because His presence is not with you. It's not because He's not speaking or talking to you. It's just because you're not hearing. You're not listening. And sometimes we just got to be quiet. We got to be still so that we can hear. After the dream, you move on to the second phase, which is the decision. You know, once God has spoken to you, once you have the dream, the goal, the plan, whatever it is in life, then you have to decide to act. So here's the dream. Now I have to make a decision to do something with the dream that God has given me, with that movement that the Holy Spirit is prompting. You have to act. Nothing's ever going to happen until you actually decide to get up off of our, right, our blessed assurance. We talked about that last week. Adele laughed last week. I was happy about that. Until we decide to get up off our tush and do something. Nothing ever gets happened by just sitting still. You know, many people have come before us probably with awesome ideas, but never did anything about it, and therefore nothing ever happened. You know, we can sit in the quiet place in our life and we can think to ourselves, daydream about what do we want to see the church be like? Or, man, I want to have an amazing, you know, family. I want to, but we don't ever do. We don't act upon what we're feeling, what we believe God is doing or how he's moving in our life. And so nothing just ever happens. It just stays the same. So we have to decide to act. It's just like we talked about last week with the trapeze artist. Right, when you're swinging back and forth and you go from the dream, you see the other side, you see what it is that you feel God moving in your life to do, but then you have to decide to let go. You have to decide to leap out in faith. You have to decide to let God be in control of your life and not you be in control of your life. Genesis 12, verse 4. So God gave Abraham this dream. Hey, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a father to a great nation. He put the dream on Abram's heart. In verse 4, it says, so Abram left. God told him, you need to go. I promise you this, and what you need to do, you're going to need to leave this country and go to where I'm going to tell you to go. In verse 4, it says, so he did. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. You know, a dream without a decision is worthless. It's a worthless dream. It doesn't mean that it's not a good dream. It could be a good dream. But the only thing that takes it from worthlessness to usefulness, you know, is making the decision to act upon what God is doing in your life. We talked about that. It comes in many ways. God's whisper comes from the Word. It comes from prayer. It comes from each other. We talked about our relationships with each other. If we're not close to one another, we're going to miss out on how God wants to speak. You know, but Abram had a decision that he had to make. God himself showed up to speak to him, to give him this dream and this promise of what he was going to be and become and to do. But Abram himself, he had to make the decision to act. Right? For us, you know, it's the same thing. God himself could come down, but if you don't make a decision to act, it's going to stop at the dream. God uses one another in each other's lives to speak to us, to encourage us, to challenge one another, to do, to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. But unless you are humble to receive what God is trying to speak to you through your brother or sister, then it's all going to still end up being worthless, because a dream without a decision is worthless. Phase three is the delay. Right? It's awesome to have a dream. It's great. Yeah, you get inspired, and you want to, you know, storm the battlefield. You know, but before you get to the end, in these phases of faith that we go through, it actually gets hard. It gets hard. When you have to wait on God, part of that waiting time is hard. And the third phase is delay. Why is there a time gap? This amount of time that passes between the dream and the fulfillment. Why does God make us wait? That's right. To develop our character. Because during that time, he's busy. God's a busy man. And he's busy at work developing you, developing your character. For those of us who do have kids, anytime your kid asks, if all you ever did was say yes, they would become spoiled little brats. Not knowing anything about anything in life when it comes to character. And how to persevere, how to embrace no. Because the reality is, we all grow up in life and we all end up kind of leaving the house as we become adults. And then life smacks you in the face. And if everything has just been handed on a silver platter, if you got what you wanted, when you want, how you wanted it, then you would have no character. God allows us this time of delay from the promised dream, the goal, the plan, whatever it is, until fulfillment, because He wants to work on you. He wants to develop your character. Genesis chapter 16 and verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. Now, this is 11 years has passed from Genesis chapter 12 to now, when God promised Abram that he was going to become this father of many nations, of a great nation, of many people. So what was going on? What was happening during those 11 years? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, they were wandering. They were maybe moving from place to place, but to see and seeing the fulfillment of that dream and seeing the fulfillment, there wasn't anything that was happening. Right? It doesn't mean that nothing was happening, but nothing was happening, right? They might have been trying, but nothing was happening. Nothing was working. God hadn't delivered yet on that promise. And sometimes that's exactly what it's like for us. It's exactly what it's like for us. Where we feel God's prompting. We catch that dream. We believe it. We've balanced it. We've discerned. Not the indigestion. This is from the Holy Spirit. And we're pursuing. We're moving. But nothing's happening. And we're just in like this holding pattern, this delayedness to the fulfillment. You know, Abram would have been tempted to give up, to doubt, to even detour off, and to take matters into his own hand. You know, to this point, Abram had not been told by God that Sarai was going to bear him that child from whom all these descendants would come. And so then as you read in chapter 16, she, Abram's wife, you know, is frustrated. She's impatient. She says, hey, here you go. Here's my maidservant. Just, you know, sleep with her and let's have children and build this family through her. Now, before you freak out and start acting all crazy at that idea, you know, it was an ancient custom during that time. It wasn't uncommon for something like that to happen. You know, it's found in, you know, that practice is found in ancient Assyrian marriage contracts, is in the Hammurabi and the Nutsi tablets. All these, so it wasn't weird, it wasn't uncommon, and God hadn't promised Abram yet that you will be a father of many nations through your wife Sarah. So when this time, after 11 years, how was Abram to know that maybe this wasn't how God was going to fulfill his promise? Now, God intercedes. Sometimes we can, as we're in this delayed place and we're trying to figure it out and we're trying to move, sometimes when we're not feeling like we're hearing, we can, in good faith, try to move in a direction to fulfill what it is that God's put on our heart. Sometimes that direction that we move in may not be exactly where He wants us to be, and He needs to gently get us back on track. And that's what God did here. You know, sometimes our greatest acts of faith are when we simply wait, even when it seems like nothing is happening. Sometimes your greatest act of faithfulness to God is to just wait, to do nothing when nothing is happening. Just waiting. Takes us to phase four. Difficulty. Great. So not only do we have to wait on God, but then there's going to be difficult times when we're in that waiting period. And we don't like that. Human nature rejects that. We do not appreciate, we do not like, we do not want that. And yet that's part of the process that we have to go through. You can look at just scroll through the Bible, scroll through the Old Testament. You'll see these phases. You'll see the dream. You'll see the decision to act. You'll see the delayedness in the being fulfilled. You'll see the difficulty that we're about to look at here as we continue to move on. Times get difficult. Genesis 17, verse 17, it says, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Now, this was 24 years after the original promise. 24 years. Imagine that. Have you had to wait 24 years for anything? That's a long time. To have God come and speak to you and say, this is what I'm going to do with your life. This is how you're going to fulfill my promises, my plan for you. And then you have to wait. You decide, amen, I'm going to take it, I'm going to do it. You make a decision, you act upon it, and then it's just delay. And then it's delay, and it's delay, and then it gets difficult. In the waiting, it gets difficult. You know, God had now changed his name to Abraham. His name was no longer Abram, it was Abraham. And the name Abraham means father of many, or father of a great nation. Now, how embarrassing is that? Think about it. Every time Abraham went into the grocery store and he was waiting in line, you know, and, you know, John Doe in front of him strikes up a conversation and they start talking. He's like, hey, so what's your name? Abraham. Ah, that's a cool name. What does it mean? Father of many nations. Father of a great nation. Wow. So how many kids do you have? Zero. Oh. Well, how old are you? 99. Right? That'd be embarrassing. That'd be hard to stomach that. That'd be hard to face family and these people that you're leading. Remember, it was 24 years ago. He convinced them all to leave everything and to follow him into the desert. On this track to this land, wherever they were going to end up, which was going to be the promised land. He sold it. He's obviously a good salesman, right? And they've been following him for 24 years because God had promised that Abraham was going to be the father of many nations and that all peoples on earth was going to be blessed through him. And so he sold it to him, and yet for years and now decades, he's face to face with these people having this conversation. God comes and changes his name. And yet, no fulfillment. I don't know when it's coming. Right? He's heard it. In fact, in chapter 15, God came back and said it again. Hey, no, I'm going to do this. And then here in chapter 17, God comes back and says it again, and it would be hard. It would have been a very difficult time for him to continue to hear 24 years later at 99 years old. It was a test. He had given him a dream, even named him from whom he would become. And isn't that how God often shows up in our life? Seeing us not for who we are, but for who we will become. God looked at Abram, not seeing him for who he was then, but for whom he would become, who he would later be in life. But it took the 24 years for God continuing to work on Abraham and on his character and on his heart, so that then he would be able to prepare him for the next phase, phase 5, which is the dead end. We go through delay, we go through difficulty, and then we get to phase 5, which is the dead end. But see, Abraham needed, Genesis chapter 22, Abraham needed the delay. He needed to go through that difficulty. His faith needed to be refined, his character needed to be built for what God was then going to ask him to do. God has born Abraham a son through Sarah, his wife, who was 90 when she gave birth. When all things were impossible, God delivered faithfully on his promise, But it wasn't over there. That wasn't the fulfillment yet of the promise. Because God says to Abraham in chapter 22, verse 2, God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. You know, how do you even begin to respond to what God was asking Abraham to do? Had to wait 25 years to receive this son from whom God promised. And through all of that, thinking that he had reached fulfillment, but he hadn't reached it yet, because God wasn't done working on his character. He wasn't done testing his faith. There was more that God wanted to see in Abraham of who was really Lord and what he was going to hold on to and where his faith was going to be. And God asked him to go kill his only son, whom he waited 25 years. Really, he waited 100 years. Or more like probably 85 years than 25. You know, how do you even know when you've reached this dead-end phase? How do we know when we've gotten to this point where it feels like it's a dead end? You feel hopeless. That's how you know you've gotten to this phase. When you feel like all hope is gone. And there may be some of us in this room this afternoon that feel like we've reached a dead end. A dead end in our relationships. A dead end in overcoming sin. A dead end in our marriages or in our parenting or in our careers or whatever the case may be. A dead end with seeing the church grow. Believing that can happen. You know, when we reach these dead-end moments in our lives, it becomes easy to become hopeless. And when that happens, we begin to start asking the dangerous question, why? We start questioning God, why are you doing this to me? Why has this happened? And we ask that why. And if that's where you're at in life, if you feel like you're in any of these areas or any other area where you feel like you've gotten to a dead end, you feel like it's hopeless, then congratulations. Because if you're there, then God has set you up for the final phase, which is deliverance. Because God always delivers on His promises. In verse 11, it says, "But the angel of the Lord," Genesis 22, verse 11, "but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.' Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.' And to this day it is said, 'On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.'" The greater the dead end, the greater the deliverance. If you don't go through times of delay, if you don't face difficulty, if you don't reach that point where you feel like all hope is gone, then the deliverance is missed. But when you reach that point, when there is no other explanation that can be found, when there is no other place to put hope in except in God alone, the greater the deliverance. God will provide. Abraham named that mountain, that place, "The Lord will provide," because he saw that by being faithful, by acting upon the dream, by waiting in the delay, by persevering through the difficulty, and hoping in spite of hopelessness that he saw God deliver faithful on his promise. How do you keep believing? How do we keep believing and holding on to our faith? Well, we have to wait on God. There's a few things that I want to go through, how we do that. These are I've just talked about the phases. This is what we need to do to hold on. Number one, remember what God can do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember what God can do. Stop focusing on what you can't do and remember what God can do. Stop focusing on what you can't do. I can't. We can't. He can't. She can't. Because you're right. Think about all that you've tried in your own flesh and in your own strength. And how successful, how's that worked out for you? But God can. Stop focusing on what you can't do. Remember what God can do. The situation may be out of your control, but it's not out of His. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3, it says, "You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere men? What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted, Apollos watered, God makes it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." Now, Paul was addressing division in the church. You know, people were talking about, "Hey, I follow this guy. No, I follow this guy." And Paul's like bringing it back. No. We're not divided. We follow Jesus. Right? So he's addressing division in the church. But if there's anything that can divide and drive a wedge between our relationships personally with God, it's focusing on the things that we can't control. That's what drives a wedge between us. There's a slew of stuff that can divide us from one another. And there's a slew of stuff that can drive a wedge between us and our relationships with God. But one of those things is focusing on things we can't control. You do you. Focus on you. Focus on what you can do, not what you cannot do, and let God be in control of what He can do. Romans 4 in the NCV, Romans 4:17, it says, "Abraham believed in the God who gives life to the dead and who creates something out of nothing." It said he believed in this God who gives life to the dead and can create something out of nothing. Now that verse by definition is a miracle. To bring life to something that's dead is a miracle. And to create something, out of nothing, that is a miracle. What did Abraham believe in? What did he believe in? Was it his strength? His flesh? What about his feelings? Positive thinking got him there. No. Abraham chose to believe in God. And a God who gives life to the dead and creates something out of nothing. Luke 18:27, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Second thing, we got to rely on God's promises. Romans 4:18 in the Phillips paraphrase translation, "When hope was dead within him, Abraham went on hoping in faith, believing that he would become the father of many nations." He relied on the word of God. How do we know when hope is dying inside of you? We start using the word never. He's never going to change. We're never going to have faithful kids. I'm never going to have a job that I'm fulfilled with in life. Never, never, never. That's how we know that we're reaching that hopeless. How do you resuscitate that hope that's dying inside you? As it says, you hope in faith. You hope in faith. In faith, you hope. In God, we put our hope and our faith, not on what is seen, not what's right in front of you. As Abraham did, as it says there, you rely on the word of God. All, if all Scripture is God-breathed. We talked about this Wednesday night. If all of this came from the mouth of God, then all of it is true. So when you feel like all hope is lost, you can always rely on His Word, because His Word is always true, and God is faithful to His Word. Romans 10:17 talks about how our faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Number three, you got to recognize the facts in faith. Or another way of saying it is you have to faith the facts. Faith, meet the facts of life with faith. Romans 4 verses 19 says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Abraham was not in denial about his body or his wife's. You know, he wasn't ignoring reality. He just faced the facts. Though his body was good as dead, though his wife's womb was unbearable, God said it could happen, therefore it will happen. He faced the facts that spoke against hope being dead. He faced the facts. Faith is not ignoring reality or pretending that our problems don't exist. It's facing a hopeless situation without being discouraged, because our eyes are fixed on Jesus. We don't throw pity parties. It doesn't mean that we don't get discouraged. It's okay to be discouraged, because life is discouraging. It's okay to be disappointed when things don't work out the way we wanted or when we want them, but we don't stay in that place. We meet our discouragement. We meet our disappointment with faith in God and His Word. Four, rejoice in anticipation. Rejoice in anticipation. Romans 4:20-21 in the Living Bible translation, it says, Abraham never doubted. He believed God, for his faith and trust grew even stronger. And he praised God for this blessing even before it happened. He was completely sure that God was well able to do everything he promised. Faith is thanking God in advance and rejoicing in what will happen. Thanking God in advance. These are the phases of faith: dreaming, delay, dreaming, decision, delay, difficulty, deliverance. You know, we make it through. We have faith when God asks us to wait. When we rely on God's Word, when we remember what He can do, what He has done, when we faith the facts of life, when we face them with faith, when we don't give up, when we rejoice in anticipation, by thanking God in advance for what He said He was going to do. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to have one song to close out.